Matthew Prince is CEO of Cloudflare. Matthew, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me on.
How was this bug created?
So the bug itself has actually been latent in our system since back in 2012, but some various protections that we had in place kept it from actually disclosing any information outside of our system. And then about 2 weeks ago, we actually made a change in our system, which then exposed the bug to users. And for a period of time of about 5 days, it was possible if you accessed a poorly created, one of about 3,000 poorly created websites that sat behind Cloudflare's network, that you were able to potentially pull essentially from the stream of information that was flowing through Cloudflare a little bit of data and potentially get access to that
right.
in a way that never should have been possible.
No, I understand how you're describing it here, but can you actually just talk about the origin of the bug itself?
Yeah, so the bug itself was a combination of a bunch of factors that all, when strung together, caused a problem. The root issue was that when...
it's an error in the code that was written, right?
That's right.
I mean, can we just say it that simply?
Yeah, absolutely. It was,
okay.
There was an error in the code that was written, and that's what caused the issue.
Okay, and how was it found?
It was found when Google was crawling the internet. There are over 6 million websites that sit behind Cloudflare's network.
Right.
And so Google is constantly indexing them. And what they found was a whole bunch of anomalous data that showed up in their search indexes. They reached out to us to see if we could make sense of it. That was about a week ago. And we were able to see that what was happening was our data was leaking a tiny bit of information about a handful of our customers.
Right. And when you say customers, you mean websites, some of which we've heard of, right?
Yeah. There were about 150 websites in total out of the 6 million Cloudflare customers that we were able to discover had some private data that was indexed by Google.
Sure.
This was very different than, you know, when you hear about Yahoo leaking hundreds of millions of passwords. This would have been more likely to be one very small slice of data about one customer's transaction at a particular moment in time.
Yeah, I understand that. It's sort of like data that's not secure as opposed to a bunch of passwords being hacked or something like that.
Yeah, I would the sort of real world analogy, which I think makes the most sense to me, is most hacking that you hear about is sort of the equivalent of burglars breaking into your office and stealing all of your file cabinets.
Right.
This was much more like you were sitting at a bar and there were two executives next to you talking about something that you shouldn't have necessarily heard, but you heard that for that one split second or moment in time.
Right.
It was much more ephemeral. But that doesn't mean it wasn't potentially risky.
But among these clients, these 150 clients where the data was insecure, can you list some of the names that we would have heard of here? Reddit is one, right?
So as a policy, we don't comment on exactly who Cloudflare's customers were. Our customers range from tiny little blogs you would have never heard of to, you know, some of the largest corporations in the world. What we can say is that we have reached out to all 150 of those customers and provided them copies of the data that would have leaked. Again, it was relatively de minimis on a per customer basis. The real impact of this was that this allowed someone to be able to essentially listen in on random bits of data that were flowing across the internet. And so had that been discovered by someone that wasn't as well-intentioned as Google, they could have done real harm with this.
Right.
But the Project Zero team at Google was very responsible in their disclosure, and we worked directly with them in order to get this cleaned up, you know, extremely quickly.
Right, and I understand that you guys did that and that you're, you know, obviously you're coming from a perspective here of saying, look, this is not some sort of, like, massive issue, right? So I get that. I just want to make sure that our listeners understand very specifically what's going on here. Can you talk about what you mean by random data?
Sure. So
Are these passwords? Are they usernames? Are they payment data on credit cards that have been input into websites that were your customers? What are we talking about?
Yeah, so it could have been anything that flowed through our network at any given period of time. So there is a chance that there could have been username data. There's a chance there could have been cookie data. There's a chance there could have been session ticket data.
Right.
All of those things would be flowing across the internet at any given time.
Sure.
There was no one type of data that was more prevalent than any other type of data.
Right.
And in all of these cases where the data ended up was in the caches of Google or other search engine databases.
Right.
And so we spent the last week working with those search engines in order to get that data removed and cleaned up. And so, again, it was very dependent on what the particular customer's application was doing. So for instance, a chat application, there may be fragments of conversations that appeared there.
Right.
Whereas, in a video streaming application, there may have essentially been a frame from a video. It was essentially random bits of whatever was passing through our network at that time.
Understood. But essentially, the answer is yes here, right? It could have been passwords. It could have been payment information, et cetera, et cetera. You are not, you guys don't understand exactly what was made available as it flowed through your network. And we should also be clear about the fact that, there's no evidence yet that hackers actually took information here. The evidence is that information was insecure.
I would push back a little bit on one thing you said, which was that we don't know the characteristics of what the data was. In this case, we actually have a pretty good sense of what the characteristics of what the data was. We know that it was primarily search engines that accessed that triggered this particular bug. And for the last week, we've reviewed with those search engines the contents of their caches, and we have not found any information. Well, we have found information there that should have been secured, and we have reviewed that with the particular customers of ours that the information was present for. There hasn't been information in those caches that again is the equivalent of a breach of a credit card database or, a significant number of credit card data. There may have been fractions of things like passwords and payment data, but that's all since been cleaned up and removed from those caches.
Right. I understand what you're saying here. I just want to make sure that we're very clear on this. You're talking about may have been fragments of et cetera here, but just I want to be super clear about this. Can you be more clear about it in terms of whether or not people's passwords were insecure?
If someone's password was insecure, it would have ended up in one of these caches.
Right.
In those cases,
but you explored the caches, right?
That's
with
correct.
The search engine, so you know what information was insecure. Right.
We are aware of what information was insecure. We have provided that to customers there and or to our customers.
Right.
And in their cases, when it has been something like a password, those customers have informed their customers about that. But it would be incorrect to say that this was, thousands of passwords. This was, one or two things that look like they may have been something like a password or something like a username. And in those cases, we've made sure that information is provided to our customers so that they can then inform their customers of how they can protect themselves. It's very different. And I think it would be the wrong reaction to say, if you've used the internet at all or 2 weeks ago, go change everything. I am a customer of at least 10% of the 150 customers that we saw some private data for that was out there. I haven't changed any of my passwords today, and that's not because I'm being cavalier about it. It's because you're playing the odds on what the probabilities are, and that it is much more likely that someone is sitting next to you in a bar watching you type your password in and writing it down.
Sure.
Than was there.
So what would then your advice be to users specifically?
Well, I think that there is just good general advice. The good password hygiene is always extremely important. Turning on things like two-factor authentication is always extremely important. And if this is an incident that causes people to, you know, continue to remember that, then that would be definitely a silver lining from it.
Sure.
I think that if you are a customer of ours and we've notified you that there was data that was leaked, then you should, you know, reach out to us and we'll share that data with you. And then we would encourage you to share that with any of your customers that were impacted, which again are going to be a very small overall percentage of your overall customer base. And so, you know, I think it is much more of a lesson for the large publishers that use Cloudflare systems, and that the action that needs to be taken is with them. For the, you know, average listener, while it's incredibly important to practice good password hygiene and turn on security, this is a very different type of breach than you know what you've heard about with LinkedIn or
sure.
Yahoo or others over the years.
Yeah, I get that. Can you give me a more specific sense of the general scale here? I know you said 150 customers. Those
yep.
customers are websites. You don't want to talk about which websites those are specifically, but can you give
yep.
me a sense of the number of users specifically potentially impacted by this?
Yeah, so what we can say is that there was about a five-day window during which this bug was present. Over that five-day window, there were about 100,000 requests per day that could have leaked some sort of private information. And again, that information, it was much more likely to be, you know, the contents of web pages or people just randomly surfing around. So it would typically be garbage information. In a very small percentage of those cases, there would be data which would potentially be about, that would have some kind of user data, either the session cookie data, session ticket data, potentially username data, email address data. Those were, you know, a small fraction of the total of, call it, 500,000 pages. So, you know, at most we're talking, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 accounts that that will end up being notified from those 150 customers that are out there.
Okay, so brass tacks, 10,000 people or 10,000 user accounts connected to these customers of yours.
There may have been some account information that would be located, and again, that's a rough estimate based on what
that.
We know.
Yep.
But it's you know that kind of contains what the scale and scope of the issue is. What I do think is important though is this was a serious issue, and had this been discovered by a hacker or someone else, they could have done real harm. What we've spent the last week doing is reviewing the logs for that period of time and seeing if there was any anomalous behavior. If it were discovered by a hacker, then you would see a spike in the number of requests that were triggering the error, something that would have changed during that period of time. Those things were all very level. So we're very thankful to the Project Zero team at Google for discovering this, for responsibly disclosing it for us, and for working with us over the last week to make sure this had as little impact as possible.
Are you going to do anything different going forward, or is this just something that happens sometimes?
You know, I think that it's, you know, it's, there will always be flaws in software. And I think the thing that we've, you know, spent the last week thinking about is how do we go back and review old software, which has been around a long time and seems like it's working just fine, but it may have some latent bug in it. In the case of this bug, it had really been around since 2012, but it didn't have any impact until about 2 weeks ago when it surfaced. So I think going back and reviewing that code is really important. The one thing that I would say that we did that I hope we will always continue to do is that we've been very transparent with what happened. We published a full post on the gory details of everything that went on.
Sure.
We sent emails to all of our customers, even customers that weren't impacted by this. We made ourselves available to talk about it and have been very transparent. We also were able to fix the underlying bug within about 44 minutes of it being reported to us by Google, which is remarkably fast for deploying something across a global network. I think that speaks to how serious this was and how risky it was, again, if it had gotten into the wrong hands. And so, you know, I hope going forward we'll continue to have that responsibility and take these bugs very seriously and being very transparent about them. And what I'm encouraged by is that, you know, while there's been plenty of criticism of us today, there's also been a lot of people who've, and our customers who've said, you know, we really appreciate that while bugs happen, the good companies are the ones that step up and take responsibility for them. And I was just looking before I got on the phone with you.
Sure.
You know, this is a very significant net customer positive day for us, where a lot of people are saying, "Wow, I didn't know Cloudflare existed before, and there's a lot of good things that you do. And while you had a tough day today, you know, I want to be a customer of yours." And so I think that that's a good lesson to us internally. It's something that I hope we always remember. And it's a good lesson to other companies that inevitably will face bugs like this in the future.
Matthew Prince, he's CEO of the company Cloudflare. Matthew, thank you very much.
Thank you.